our very own rogue hero. As a founding member of the SAS and real-life star of a BBC TV drama, member Mike Sadler, who turns 103 this month, tells Mark Wheeler his incredible story. Growing up in London in the 20s, Mike Sadler never could have believed he'd end up as a real-life legend depicted in BBC miniseries SAS Rogue Heroes. After his school days, the former SAS soldier, who turns 103 this month, moved to Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe, in the hope of becoming a farmer. However, a series of unexpected events led him along a different path. Mike explains, "I moved with the goal of becoming a farmer, but then the war broke out in 1939. I joined the Rhodesian Army, eventually becoming part of the anti-tank detachment. We went on to East Africa, then up through the country to North Africa, digging trenches in the sand. Then I went on holiday to Cairo and met up with a group of fellow Rhodesians. We had a jolly party for 2 or 3 days, and they asked me if I'd like to join them in the Long Range Desert Group, LRDG. Just 2 or 3 weeks later, I was accepted." The TV miniseries and the book by Ben McIntyre, on which it's based, portrays Mark as someone who has an almost superhuman gift for navigation, something he says he first picked up with the LRDG. He says, "We headed to Kufra in southern Libya in a resupply column, and on the way down, crossing the desert, somebody in the party was doing astro-navigation, something I knew nothing of. I was astonished to think that you could find where you were on the ground from looking at the stars. I watched them for a couple of nights, and when I got to Kufra, the first thing they said was, 'Would you like to be a navigator?' I said yes straight away and cast aside my anti-tank gun." Mike spent a fortnight learning the rudiments with a merchant service officer. He then joined a patrol and went out on a number of behind-the-lines operations with the Rhodesian Forces, S2, where he eventually came across infamous SAS founding member Paddy Mayne. Mike says, "I'd never heard of the unit before. They'd just had their first disastrous parachute operation, and we were sent to camp for a few days outside a place called Jalu to meet them. I was introduced to some of the survivors of the SAS operation and was told to take one of them, who turned out to be Paddy Mayne, to a place in the west, 300 miles across the desert. We were round the back of German lines and had an observation for some time. As a result of this, the leader of the unit, David Sterling, co-opted me into the SAS, and thereafter I became an SAS chap. I had to go and complete the parachute course to join and get integrated properly. That was the end of the LRDG for me." Mike's first memories of what had not yet officially become the SAS are remarkably clear as he recounts his first mission, which saw 24 aircraft and a fuel dump destroyed by just 6 men. He says Paddy was set on destroying as many aircraft as possible. This was the beginning of all that. He was a very interesting character, but he was also a very nice and talented chap. He'd made himself a solicitor before the war and was a good person. He deserves more recognition than he got. I feel the less suitable aspects of his character have been promoted, but he was a very complex fellow and I got on very well with him. He had a rather strange sense of humour, which some people had difficulty understanding. Even though the TV drama portrays the desert conditions as extremely tough, Mike says he enjoyed his time with the SAS and was sorry to leave the desert when they did. "I was a passable navigator, and that was my use. It was mainly a matter of taking a lot of attention and not jumping to conclusions. I was rather patient, and that suited the requirement. I greatly enjoyed it, even though it involved staying up half the night to find stars that were suitable and keeping all the records and correcting them each night to start off with a new record the next morning. I really liked the desert, even though it was uncomfortable at times. I'm sure there must have been many times that I hated it, but I don't remember them. None of our vehicles had windscreens or tops, so we were very exposed to the weather. We didn't travel in the day if we could help it, but sometimes it couldn't be helped. I ended up with a couple of desert sores, but others had it far worse, Paddy had them particularly badly. As depicted at the end of the first series of the TV show, in January 1943, Mike accompanied Stirling on what would turn out to be the SAS Founders' last operation. While heading across the Tunisian desert to meet the British American First Army, the group was ambushed by a German unit and Stirling was captured. He spent the rest of the war as a prisoner of war in Colditz. Now you'll hear Mike's amazing tale of escape and guiding the group over 100 miles without maps in next month's review. Who was Paddy Mayne? Lieutenant Colonel Paddy Mayne is a legendary figure in the history of the Special Forces. A professional rugby player with a turbulent character, he played a vital role in the early successes of the SAS, becoming one of its most important commanders. Following its disastrous opening operation, Paddy led a small group on an attack of an airfield in Libya, during which he destroyed 24 aircraft by attaching bombs and shooting up the cockpit. He also famously wrenched out the control panel of one aircraft, a Herculean act which has gone down in SAS legend.